listen to Cousin Jen sitting on the porch. Seem like that guy singing this song, been doing it for a long time. Is there anything he knows that he ain't said? Sing a song for freedom, sing a song for love, sing a song for depressed angels. Paper pretending he could see, but he couldn't read without his glasses on. How can all these people afford so many things? When I was young, people wore what they had on. The world a better place if all without you. Love and affection in everything you do. Goals and visions and afterthoughts for the 21st century. Mostly came up with nothing, so the truth was never learned. And the human race just kept rolling on. Rolling down the temple walls and the church's exposed sores. Rolling through the fighting, the religious war. Hopes and dreams of nothing. Here's your glasses, you see much better now. Said that young girl of Edith and Earl. Grandpa just kept staring, he was lost in some distant thought. Then he turned and he said to that young girl, everything you do will make the world a better place with or without you.
Called Greendale. My family living there are the Greens. Earl and Edith Green and their daughter Sun Green. I'd like to tell you a little about Earl Green first. He's a Vietnam vet and he came back here in the late 60s and had a little trouble blending in with things that were going on around him. And he was looking forward to getting home until he got home. And then everything was going too fast. There were too many colors. And he couldn't turn off his own mind and his memories. He stayed in his house for a couple of weeks before he got up enough nerve to go out. He finally did, went out to a dance spot, have a few drinks, try to loosen up. That night he met Edith. He saw her dancing, and she was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. And his life was complete at that moment. So he courted Edith, and they got married. And after a little time, actually after a few years, they had a pair of twins, Sun and Luna. And Luna didn't make it, but Sun did. And she's a beautiful girl. And I wish you could see her, but she's not here. She's doing her homework. She's working on a book report. It's a book's called How to Use the Media. And, written by a politician and a lawyer from California. She's also working on a subject that something she thought of herself. She's doing a special paper on it. It comes out of her own heart. It's called Alaska, Saving the Wilderness by Sun Green.
Living on the double E, in the sunshine of her life. the double E. They nearly made history. The locals rose up, some of them were mad as hell, 'cause it used to be the double L. Change comes slow. Where she met Grandpa, she caught that young man's eye. Dusty white Eldorado, cruising through the tree, slipping through the shadow of what it used to be.
Fishing town. It's a coastal village. Started out in the 1800s. Just a few fishermen and a good place to put your boat. So you could had a little wharf there. It's just a little town. Later on, around 1911, they built a jail at 666 Meadow Avenue. We shouldn't talk about the jail. Satan lives in the jail. Now, Some people don't believe Satan lives in the jail because obviously somewhere else in the world we hear about it all the time. But I think he's everywhere. We know he's everywhere. He must be here too. I mean, we're not immune. I think he does live in Greendale. As a matter of fact, you may remember that shocking day a few years ago when Greendale Elementary School showed up on an envelope that was delivered to government buildings. That's something I didn't even realize till recently. But forget about the devil. This song's not about him. This song's about Captain John Green. I got a little bit off track there. I hope you don't mind. I couldn't talk about any of that stuff, really. So Captain John Green, he lives in his boat, and it's down there at the old wharf. The wharf's condemned now. Got a brand new wharf. It's a beauty. It's made out of plastic and cement. It's going to last forever. But the old wharf made out of wood and it's fallen down, but it's beautiful. There's an old fishing shack out on the end. Captain Green likes that place. Captain Green has bad blood with the Green family. He's Grandpa's brother. And he and Grandpa were both married to the same woman 1 year a long time ago. Not at the same time, but apparently she first married Captain Green and then they divorced and she married Arius, Grandpa Green. And so Captain John Green, he's got some problems with Greendale and the Green family and everything. He feels the place is cursed and he doesn't want his crew to go in there for anything else other than pick up some cigarettes, few supplies and come on back.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free. John Lennon said that, and I believe in love, and I believe in action. When push comes to shove, who cares what you believe? Said the captain of me. If you stood in my shoe, your eyes would be so my fair damsel, won't you take your leave? Are you headed for the country where they wear the green sleeve, where the children laugh and the old folks sing, where the church bell tolls for a miraculous thing?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Outside of town, there's a little sign that says, Leaving Greendale. Population 22,886. And sign was put up by the Chamber of Commerce. After many meetings, they decided the sign should be green. The sign would be 8 feet wide and 3 feet high, and have luminescent numbers and letters on it to make it work at night. Al's idea was added right at the end, and it's a good thing. Now, it's a great sign, and it didn't cost much, and the community raised it out of taxes or whatever. But you can't see the sign today, because it's been covered up by a giant billboard put up by a media conglomerate.
Let him come!
Reaction to the sign was mixed in town. And, but one police officer who was a very popular guy, Officer Carmichael, found a use for the sign. He parked his cruiser under the sign, and in that way he was able to make his quota by catching speeders on their way out of town, leaving Greendale. People seem to be in a hurry to get out of town for some reason.
got stopped by the CHP for speeding in no red lights. Rolled down the driver's window, shoved his gun down under the seat. Glove box full of cocaine, trunk was full of weed. Driver's license and registration, said the officer with his flashlight. Searching round the floor of the car, smelling like something ain't right. Jed's life flashed before him like a black and white Super 8. He heard the sound of the future on a scratchy old 78. Nothing was still, all was moving when the flashlight found the gun. Then Jed pulled the trigger. In a split second tragic blunder, makes you think about living, what life has to tell. Said Jed to Grandpa from inside his cell. Camouflage hung in his closet, guns all over the wall. Plans for buildings and engineers, and a book with no numbers to call. The whole town was stunned. They closed the post highway for 12 hours. No one could believe it. Jed was one of ours. Meanwhile, across the ocean, living in the internet, is the cause of an explosion no one has heard yet. There's no need to worry, there's no reason to fuss. Just go on about your work now, leave the driving to us, and we'll be watching you and everything you do. You can do your part by watching others too. Put down the paper,
must to be told. To people who take pure bullshit and turn it into
policeman who used to go on the rounds around the school every day, morning, recess, and noon hour, afternoon recess, and then when the kids were going to school, going home, Carmichael was always there, just driving by, looking around, making sure everything was safe. And some things had happened in some other towns nearby. Carmichael was sure that had never happened in Greendale. So he was a very popular man, and his death shocked the whole community, like I said. Jed went to jail, and he was safe there, I guess. And the widow had some of her friends over to the house to help take down all the pictures of Carmichael with his uniform on and with his gun and all his brothers in blue. And so they took down all the pictures. She didn't want any more guns, no more uniforms. They took down the duck hunting pictures too. Then they started going through the closets, going through Carmichael's chest of drawers, just trying to remove anything that might upset the widow further. And they found out Carmichael had some secrets of his own.
She should never know. said the widow's best friend, and I'll just take it and go. I'll give her the money later, say it was in a shoe. That way she'll never find out.
Funny to us. You left our love.
luggage back in your room and almost missed the bus. That was a great vacation. Maybe the best of all.
I told you a little about Earl Green, that he was a Vietnam vet, and that he had trouble adjusting when he came home. But eventually, he found something to do that made a difference. He became a painter. Earl was an artist. He started painting, and his pictures were pretty psychedelic looking. They were kind of like 60s hippie pictures or something. There were a lot of lines on them. And he would spend hours and hours just working on these things. I don't know where he came up with the designs for them, but as long as he was painting, he didn't have to worry. There were no voices, there were no hallucinations, and there were no memories. His son used to come in to his studio, which was a pretty cool studio. He rigged up himself with some, in the barn with some plywood and chains. He hung the plywood from the rafters of the barn, painted his 4x8 white, and hung his paintings on them. The whole barn was full of paintings, and they were all hanging at different heights. Son would come in every day after school or after chores on the weekend and check him out and see what he was doing. She thought her daddy was a genius. It was like Picasso or something. It was some great painter. And she knew that these paintings were special because if you stood in front of one of these paintings for long enough, you started to hear things. And the paintings took on a life of their own. Often she would stand in front of one of his new paintings and she'd hear things like bare feet running through the mud and people whispering in a foreign language and calling out to each other with words she couldn't understand. And then suddenly there'd be some gunfire and screaming. And you hear people screaming and falling, and then helicopters coming in, and some really loud crashes and bangs, and then some voices she recognized, voices she understood. And These things were hard for her to understand where it was coming from and everything, but and suddenly it would change and there'd be a couple of lovers sitting on the beach and they'd be talking to each other peacefully, talking about the kids and talking about their life together and how good things were going to be. And the wind was blowing and the waves were crashing and the seagulls were singing. But then those footsteps had come back again, and those funny little voices, and then the wild, loud, crashing sounds, and screaming and yelling. So she didn't know what to make of it. She knew her dad was a genius, but these paintings, they haunted her, and her dad could never stop painting them. And the sad thing is, he could never sell one either. So no one found out about them. No one knew how great they were. And no one got to stand in front of them and hear the things that came out of them. You could never sell one. He went all over the place trying to sell them. Different places, near Greendale, in Greendale. There was a gallery there that he kept going back to and getting turned down. So he had to live off Grandpa's money. And that weighed heavily on him, because I can imagine a lot of you guys out there wouldn't want to be living off your dad at this point. So, it bothered him. It bothered him a lot. This song here, this is for Earl Green. That money's all gone. Can't go to your friends. Someday bandit for so many years. What are you working for? One more big score. Who are you trying to kid? Try to get closer, but not too close. Try to get through, but not be through. No one can touch you now. I can touch you now. You're invisible. You got too many secrets. Bob Dylan said that. Something like that. Someday you'll find everything you're looking for. Someday you'll find everything you're looking for. Someday you'll one morning, Grandma and Grandpa were having breakfast in their little house in Greendale. It was just a little house now, and they didn't need a big house anymore. No more kids. Just had a living room, kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, and a garage for the Eldorado. Grandpa was having his biscuits, the kind Grandma made for him every morning. She baked them in bacon grease down there on the frying pan. She put some butter on them, and then put honey on them, and flip them over, put some more on there. Cook them till they're just almost burnt. After that, some black spots on them. Grandpa loved those biscuits, and Grandma loved it when he would smile at her, and she'd bring them, put the plate up and down in front of him. So he was biting into his biscuit, and suddenly there was a loud sound. Grandma's china started rattling on the walls, and the house started shaking, and then it got really loud. It must be an earthquake. It was something like that. And no, it wasn't an earthquake. Right outside over the neighbor's lawn, there was a helicopter with a newsman in it, with a camera hanging out of the side door. The neighbor's laundry was flying all over the place. Rocks were flying, little pebbles on the ground. Grandpa looked out there and saw them. And he looked out front and he saw a bunch of satellite dishes and the vans and people with jackets with numbers on them and letters on them. And it was the media. come to interview Grandpa. They wanted to do a special on the Green family, find out what it was like to live with a cop killer. They thought the people had a right to know. Well, Grandpa didn't agree with that. He was very angry. He and Grandma took off. They went out the back door and got in the garage, got the Eldorado, and Grandma was driving. She drives real fast. And they took off towards the Double E. They were headed down out of town and into the green fields outside Greendale. Down one of those paths. It's like two paths where a car goes a lot, but not too much. So there's still grass growing out of the middle. She's flying down there about 60 miles an hour with dust raising in the air. And Grandpa's starting to relax. Sitting in the passenger seat there, he's thinking, well, this isn't too bad. I'm going to see Son. I'm going to see Son in a while. He was very proud of Son. Even though she could never carry on the Green name, and she was the last of the Greens, she could carry on the tradition. And he loved her very much. He thought she was just a wonderful, beautiful girl. She was really the light of his life. But when he got to the Double E, Edith told him that Son had left. She'd gone into town to visit Jed in jail. So Grandpa went in, sat down, started reading the paper. Grandma went back into town and get some dinner from great-grandma, pick up a few things. Great grandma was a great cook. She was 105 years old. She drank rye whiskey and smoked cigarettes. But she had a little garden outside. She had a nice little garden going there. And everything that she ate was from that garden. She had some chickens, a few little animals.
Scared the shit out of it. And it took off down the tongue touched the cold steel bars as she pushed the paper in. Jed took it up and he read it, and he couldn't hide a grin. Outside the jail window, a crow flew across the sky, completely disappearing behind each bar. And then a helicopter flew by.
Whisper to her from now on. was trying to talk.
Mother Earth needs more like you.
should go out now and see the world. What's Grandpa doing on TV? I got his dinner in the car. All these fans have blocked our way, but we can carry it. It's not too far.
Great reviews. Hey, Mr. Queen, you're the to shoot it dead. Leave it lying in a puddle of blood at the foot of some green's bed.
I'm ready to go right now. Then the charges all got dropped, and the story became confused. She still liked to meet Julia Butterfly, see what remedy brings. Living on the run. Mother Earth has many enemies. There's much work to be done.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
knows what any of it is worth. We'll be right back.
Look out, mom, there's a white boat coming up the river. So keep ready, and I'm fighting a man on the way. I think you better call John, but don't look like they're here to deliver. Man, it's less than a mile. We'll be right back.
to water if this galley isn't gone. Looking for the new world and night palace in the sun. On the shore lay Montezuma with his coca leaves and pearls. In his halls he often wandered with the secrets of the world. His subjects gathered round him like the leaves around a tree. In their clothes of many colors for the angry gods to see. Women were beautiful. The men stood straight. In sacrifice, so others could go on.
Billy Talbot. On guitar, Poncho San Pedro. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Especially thank our cast for being here. These great kids from New York really rock. I'd like to bring a mountain that's out here now. Come on out, ladies. There's Nancy Hall. There's Peggy Young. There's Sue Hall. And Trent Brewer. Nancy's birthday.
dust.